We are talking about the end of the world as we know it. What is it that Daniel wants us to know, or that the Lord wants Daniel to know, to speak to everybody else about the end of the world as we know it? And it is this, that spiritual warfare will increase. In the last days, spiritual warfare will increase. Let's jump into Daniel chapter 10 and take a look at this chapter here. It says, in the third year of the reign of King Cyrus of Persia, Daniel, also known as Belteshazzar, had another vision. He understood that the vision concerned events certain to happen in the future, times of war and great hardship. And when this vision came to me, I, Daniel, had been in mourning for 3 whole weeks. All that time I had eaten no rich food, no meat or wine crossed my lips, and I used no fragrant lotions until those 3 weeks had passed. And on April 23rd, as I was standing on the bank of the great Tigris River, I looked up and saw a man dressed in linen clothing with a belt of pure gold around his waist. His body looked like a precious gem. His face flashed like lightning, and his eyes flamed like torches. His arms and feet shone like polished bronze, and his voice roared like a vast multitude of people. Only I, Daniel, saw this vision. The men with me saw nothing, but they were suddenly terrified, and they ran away to hide. So I was left there all alone to see this amazing vision. My strength left me. My face grew deathly pale, and I felt very weak. Then I heard the man speak, and when I heard the sound of his voice, I fainted and lay there with my face to the ground. Just then, a hand touched me and lifted me, still trembling, to my hands and my knees. And the man said to me, Daniel, you are very precious to God, so listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I have been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling, and then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I've come in answer to your prayer. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now I'm here to explain what will happen to your people in the future. For this vision concerns a time yet to come. And while he was speaking to me, I looked down at the ground, unable to say a word. Then the one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing in front of me, I am filled with anguish because of the vision I have seen. My Lord and I am very weak. How can someone like me, your servant, talk to you? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe. Then the one who looked like a man touched me again, and I felt my strength returning. Don't be afraid, he said, for you are very precious to God. Peace, be encouraged, be strong. And as he spoke these words to me, I suddenly felt stronger and said to him, please speak to me, my Lord, for you have strengthened me. He replied, do you know why I've come? Soon I must return to fight against the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. And after that, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Greece will come. Meanwhile, I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one helps me against these spirit princes except Michael, your spirit prince. And I've been standing beside Michael to support and strengthen him since the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede. Now then, I will reveal the truth to you. Throughout the rest of chapter 11, he goes on and he shares this truth. And this truth is what Daniel has seen in visions before, that Persia will come to power, then Persia will fall, and then Greece will come to power, and all of those things that we've looked at before. And that goes through half of chapter 12. That's what the angel continues to tell Daniel. But this is an interesting chapter in Scripture, because we see Daniel, a human being like you and I, having a conversation with a spiritual being. There's some debate back and forth about who this spiritual being is. Is this Jesus or is this just an angel? Well, some of this stuff, depending on how you look at it, it'll interpret you differently. I think this is just an angel. The reason why is this angel says that he was in this spiritual battle with a demon, right? A prince, a demon of Persia, and he needed Michael the archangel to come help him. I don't know about you, but in my theology, Jesus doesn't need no help. Okay? I think it's an angel. But this whole conversation that this angel brings to Daniel brings up this whole topic about the spiritual realm and the spiritual realities around us and what is going on in this spiritual world that we can't see. What's happening? And how does it include the end of the world in the last days? Well, in the last days, spiritual warfare will increase. And there's a lot of reasons for this, but that's what the angel is telling Daniel, that it will increase. And anyone sensitive to the spiritual reality around us will tell you that spiritual warfare is on the rise. Right? I've had conversations even this morning about spiritual warfare within people, within the next generation, talking about homosexuality and sexual identity and orientation and all of these things. It is a spiritual attack on this next generation. Say, well, how is spiritual warfare increasing? Or why in all of these questions? Well, if spiritual warfare is on the rise, we may not always know why. Well, we do know why, because the end is coming. Jesus is returning, and Satan doesn't want to lose his foothold, so he's trying every tactic he can to hold the ground that he has, spiritually speaking, and it's not working. The spiritual warfare is on the rise. So what do we do? Like, we can understand that there's this spiritual war, that these angels and demons, they are battling in spiritual realms and realities over nations and people and all this stuff. But how does that affect us? How do we, as followers of Christ, play into this whole spiritual warfare aspect? Well, if spiritual warfare is on the rise, then what we see is in these last days, we must be like Daniel and we must be people of prayer and fasting. We must be people who pray and fast. You see, Daniel fasted and prayed for 21 days, for 3 whole weeks. Some of you may know this. It's called the Daniel fast, right? Where you eat nothing but vegetables and nuts and drink water for 21 days. Daniel did this during chapter 9, that prayer that we talked about, that prayer of confession. That wasn't just like a one-and-done prayer. That was weeks where he is repenting and confessing and turning to the Lord on behalf of himself and Israel and the people who are in exile. He prayed and he fasted for 3 weeks. And what we see at the end of chapter 9 is that the angel comes and says, hey, God has heard your prayer. He comes in this moment, 3 weeks later, and he says, God has heard your prayer. He's doing something about it. Now, if you're like me, when I read this, I'm thinking, well, why did it take 3 weeks for this angel to come and tell Daniel that God has heard his prayer? Like, you would think that would be pretty immediate, right? How many of you have prayed before and wanted an immediate answer from God? Every time I pray, let's be honest, we want an immediate response from God. But what we see here is that Daniel was praying and fasting, and during those 21 days, there was spiritual warfare going on that he did not know about. Right? This angel came to him and he said, hey, Daniel, sorry it's been 3 weeks, bud, but I kind of been busy with this demon of Persia over here. I couldn't get away. So then I called for the archangel Michael, which we know in scripture is kind of the head angel. He's in charge of everybody. And by the way, did you know that there's only 2 angels mentioned by name in the entire Bible? Michael and Gabriel. Michael, the archangel in charge of all of the angels, and Gabriel, who comes and tells Joseph and Mary that they're going to have a son and he's the Messiah. The only 2 angels that we know by name. Anyway, that's off topic. So he calls Michael, the archangel, and he says, hey, can you come and kind of deal with this demon problem over here, right, for me, so I can go and do what God told me to do and deliver this message to Daniel and say that God has heard his prayer and he's going to deliver the people of Israel in 70 years? During his praying and his fasting, there was spiritual battles and spiritual warfare going on. These demonic forces of Persia, when it says the prince of Persia, anytime you see that word prince, it's talking about some type of spiritual being. typically an angel or a demon. Right? That's why Satan in Ephesians is the prince of the power of the air. He is a spiritual being over this world. He has dominion over this world. So it's a demonic force over Persia. The king that Daniel is under authority right now, right? King Cyrus of the Persian is being influenced by demonic forces. And the angel was losing and he needed Michael's help to defeat him. What we see too is this, that it was Daniel's prayer and fasting and his intercession that led to this spiritual victory in the spiritual realms. You see, prayer and fasting has supernatural implications. It is more than a physical inconvenience where we don't allow ourselves to eat food or to drink things that we enjoy and to spend time in prayer instead of entertainment. It's more than a physical inconvenience. It has a spiritual impact. Your prayers and your fasting have spiritual implications you would never think possible. And they may not be immediate. You may be praying and seeking the Lord and interceding and asking God to do these great things. And the reason why he hasn't answered them yet is because there's something else going on in the world that the angels are taking care of. I mean, you say, well, I thought God was omnipresent, right? I thought he was everywhere all the time. The Holy Spirit can go and do all these things. Yes, he can. But God chooses to do his work through spiritual beings, through angels. Angels still work today. Did you guys know that? Angels are still at work today. If demons are still at work today, angels are still at work today. I'm not going to get into all of the angel things right now this morning. I'm going to try not to. There's going to be a supplemental teaching later this week to talk about the role of angels and demons and all of this stuff. And it will answer a lot of questions for you about that area and that reality. But what we see here is that prayer and fasting has supernatural implications. It has a spiritual impact. Even Jesus taught this, right? In Mark chapter 9, let's look at this story of the demon-possessed boy. It says, when they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them, and some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. What is all this arguing about? Jesus asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said this, Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. He foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but look at this. They couldn't do it. And Jesus said to them, you faithless people. How long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought the boy. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was a little boy, the spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. What do you mean, if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. And the father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak, he said. I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again. Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. And the boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him up to his feet, and he stood up. Afterward, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, well, why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit? Look at Jesus' response. This kind can be cast out only by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting has spiritual and supernatural implications. If spiritual warfare is on the rise and it's increasing, we must be people who pray and fast. This dad, he knew there was something outside of the physical realm that was happening to his child, possessed by a demon. This is not natural. This is not normal things that go on in our world. So he goes to these disciples he's heard about who have cast out demons before and has done these healings and wonderful miracles. And the demons can't do it because they didn't have enough faith. They hadn't spent time in the presence of God praying and fasting and seeking the Lord and his wisdom and his guidance and his insight, interceding on behalf of people. Their faith wasn't strong enough. You see, it is faith building to kneel in the presence of God and physically plead for spiritual realities to take place. When you pray and you fast, you are going into the presence of God. One, your faith builds when you pray and you fast. It's not just this physical thing that we have to do that just is a really big inconvenience. No, it will build your faith. And Jesus says when you pray and you fast, you're building your faith. And then you have enough faith to do things in the spiritual realm and spiritual realities around you. We must be people who pray and fast. Second thing that we see about these spiritual warfare increasing is this, is that spiritual warfare has physical implications. Spiritual warfare has physical implications. Not only do we pray and fast, which is a physical thing that we do to kind of put our mind and our focus on the spiritual realities around us, but spiritual warfare has physical implications. Look at the story of the boy, right? It was this spiritual attack on this boy that was manifested in the physical realm, right? He's foaming at the mouth. He's convulsing. He's being thrown into fire and all of these things. It has physical implications. More than that, though, in verses 12 through 14 in Daniel 10, we see that the angel that came to speak to Daniel, which again, we don't know his name, was in the middle of a battle in the spiritual realm while Daniel was praying. He was being blocked for those 3 weeks by a demon in control of the kingdom of Persia to talk to Daniel. Now, this spiritual battle was not over because in verse 20, he says that he has to go back and to fight this demon. And then there's another demon that's going to come and control the ruler of Greece, and he's going to have to fight that demon, right? Angels are busy people, busy beings. They're not people, I guess. But these two kingdoms were at war. They were oppressing their people, and they were doing a lot of evil things that rulers and kingdoms should not do because they were being influenced by demonic spiritual forces. When we look at the world around us and we see, man, how can people be so evil? Well, it's because when we live in our sin, sin is evil, and Satan, who is the ruler of all evil things on this earth, he comes and he starts to tug on those things. Those things that we struggle with, right? Those things like anger and lust and addiction. He comes and he starts to pull and he drags us farther and farther into the spiritual realm of evil. That's what he does. That's what he's doing with these rulers. That's why this angel, God had sent his angels to go and to attack these spiritual forces. These demons that are trying to control everything. Say, well, Pastor Brandon, what does that mean? Do they have like swords and are they fighting each other up in the air and we can't see? I don't know what spiritual fighting looks like. I have no idea. Bible doesn't really talk about it. But what we know is that they're doing something. And it has physical implications. When you look in our world, in our society, and you see nations that are just full of evil, they're doing things, they're going to war, and attacking other nations. That's physical implications of a spiritual reality going on. We know that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, right? He has temporary reign and dominion over the earth. And everything he does has a physical impact. That's why he had the power to tempt Jesus with everything that he saw. In Luke chapter 4, remember that Jesus, he goes and what did he do for 40 days? He prayed and he fasted, right? He built his faith up. He interceded spiritually on the behalf of the people around him and Israel. And then Satan comes and he tries to attack Jesus. And what's one of the things that he tempts Jesus with? Look out at all of this land. Everything that your eye sees can be yours. Some of you may be thinking when you read that, well, wait, how can he give all of this land to Jesus? Because he's the prince of this world. He is the ruler of the earth. That land is his temporarily until Jesus comes back and he takes it back at the last battle of Armageddon, Gog and Magog, all that stuff in Revelation. But Satan is the ruler of this world and he tempts Jesus with the physical realities around him. How many times do we get caught up in the physical and the materialistic? Listen, those things are spiritual attacks from the enemy. And this is how Satan attacks me, I'll tell you that. Materialistic, physical things, right? I want the latest and the best truck and the biggest camper to pull behind it and all of the toys and all of that stuff. You see, Satan has rule not just over individual people like we see with this boy who's demon-possessed, but nations as well. In Deuteronomy 32, we see God break up the nations or the people groups of the world, and he gives different angels dominion over them. And of course, many of those angels began to follow Satan. And we see that these nations are now controlled by demons and some by angels. So when you look at the world globally, and nations that are doing evil and terrible things, and other nations that are trying to do good, there is spiritual warfare going on behind them that we may not see. Now again, this conversation about angels and demons and what they have dominion over, how they operate, what their purpose is, are they even real? It spans more than we have time for today, so definitely be looking for that additional teaching this weekend. It'll be on the Church App and in our website. So we see that spiritual warfare is increasing. We must be people who pray and fast. Spiritual warfare has physical implications. And the last thing is this, that Jesus has the power to defeat Satan once and for all. You may be thinking, well, man, there's physical implications to these spiritual realities. I know I can pray and I can fast and I can intercede on behalf of these spiritual things that are going on around me, but I'm only one person, right? Well, Jesus has the power to defeat Satan once and for all. In verses 21 through chapter 11, verse 2, the angel tells Daniel that he's going to tell him the truth concerning the end times. And he goes on for all of chapter 11 and half of chapter 12, prophesying over the next 400 years, from the time of Daniel till the time of Antiochus Epiphanes. And while the book of Daniel contains the truth of these 400 years, we know that the truth of the word of God extends beyond that time and into the time of Christ. And it is Christ who has the power to defeat Satan. And we see this all throughout Jesus' life and ministry, this buildup to defeat Satan once and for all. We see that during Jesus' earthly ministry, he binds and he casts out demons. Right, you guys remember the story, if you've heard of it, of the pigs on the hillside? This man was possessed by 1,000 demons, a legion. And Jesus sends them into the pigs, and the pigs run off the cliff into the water, and they die. He has the power to cast out demons and bind them. Jesus healed those who were afflicted by spiritual disease and illness. He was able to call out people's sin and know their spiritual condition, whether they belong to the Lord or belong to Satan. And ultimately, Jesus' death and resurrection destroyed the power of Satan in this world and in the lives of all who believe in him. You see, his death paid the spiritual debt that each one of us owe because of our sin. Not only that, but his death allowed him to descend into hell, showing that his resurrection has the power to save even the worst of sinners. When Jesus descended into hell, he showed Satan that he does not have power and authority over Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says this. I'll put it on the screen real quick. Or not. It's not working. That's okay. We'll look it up. 1 Peter chapter 3, 18 and 20, it says this. It says, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. And he suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. So he went and preached to the spirits in prison to those who disobeyed God long ago when God waited patiently while Noah was building his boat. And only 8 people were saved from drowning in that terrible flood. What is happening? Peter is talking about when Jesus descends into hell, he goes to the worst of sinners. If you remember back the flood of Noah, right? People were wicked as they had ever been on the earth, so much so that God destroyed the earth and all of the people in it. The worst possible sinners, Jesus descends into hell and he tells them, hey, my death and my resurrection has power over Satan and the sin in your life. That is powerful. Go on to chapter 4, verse 6, and I just missed my place. See if we can find it here. He says this, he says, that is why the good news was preached to those who are now dead. So although they were destined to die like all people, they now live forever with God in the Spirit. Jesus' death allowed him to descend into hell, showing that his resurrection has the power to save even the worst of sinners. So how do we fight spiritual battles in these last days? By receiving the resurrection power that can only come from Christ and his finished work on the cross and continuous ministry of the Holy Spirit. When you receive the power that Jesus has through the resurrection of his death, you can fight the spiritual battles in these last days. It's because of Christ's death and resurrection that we have the spiritual authority and power through the Holy Spirit to fight off the attacks of Satan in our life and the life of others. Second thing that we can do to fight spiritual battles in these last days is we can pray and fast, which builds our faith and has a spiritual impact. But you can pray and you can fast as much as you want, but if you have not placed your faith in the resurrection of Christ and the power he has over the sin in your life, you will not be able to make a spiritual impact. But when you give your life to Christ and you begin to pray and fast, it will build your faith. You never know what's going on in the spiritual realm around you. You may be praying for something for weeks, for months, or even for years, and you have no idea what type of demonic influence, satanic hold, or other spiritual battle is being waged that you are waiting for. Let me just say something real quick. Those of you who have children or family members who do not have a relationship with Jesus, don't stop praying for them. You never know what is going on in their spiritual reality of that person's life and the attacks that Satan is sending to this person. You may be like, man, Jesus, you're not answering my prayer quickly. That's okay. There are other things going on. But intercede on them, on their behalf. Pray and fast for them. And soon enough, that spiritual battle will be won through the power of Christ, and your prayer will be answered. And this is also where praying in the Spirit comes in. You see, when you begin to speak in your heavenly prayer language and you're praying in the Spirit, your prayers and fasting are no longer just your own. You are now interceding alongside the Holy Spirit. Ephesians tells us that when you pray in tongues, when you pray in the Spirit, you are increasing your faith. You are building your faith, edifying your own spirit and your soul. You're building spiritual defenses within your own life. Not only that, but when you pray in your prayer language, you are now using the spiritual authority and power through the Holy Spirit to enact spiritual change within the heavenly realm. That's why speaking in tongues is more than just a spiritual phenomenon. It is a crucial aspect to spiritual warfare. I want to invite you right now as we just take a moment to respond to the Lord. I just want you just to begin, first of all, just to analyze and to reflect your own heart. Just say, Lord, Do I truly believe in the power that you have? The power to live a perfect and sinless life. To not only die on the cross for my sins, but to raise back to life, having the power to defeat death, hell, sin, and the grave. If you place your faith in the power of Jesus this morning, the spiritual hold that Satan has in your life will be gone. As we read in Romans during worship, that there is freedom from the power of Satan when you let the power of Jesus Christ come and take over your life. Maybe in this moment you just need to begin to pray. And you need to begin to pray prayers that you have stopped praying long ago because you just felt like God wasn't hearing your prayers. God hears your prayers. He may not be answering them in the moment that you want because there are spiritual things going on beyond our understanding. But begin to pray. Begin to intercede. Begin to say, God, build my faith through prayer and fasting. God, continue to do great things. God, use your angels and the spiritual realities around me to bring supernatural breakthrough in my life and the life of other people. Maybe this morning you say, man, I pray and I fast and I seek God, but man, there's just got to be more. I don't feel like my prayers are doing what I believe God wants them to do. That's why speaking in tongues is so important. It's not a spiritual stepping stone. It's not anything like that. It's simply you partnering through your spirit with the Holy Spirit to enact spiritual change. See, when you pray through your own words and your own thoughts, when you pray in your heart, you're doing just that. You're praying through your heart. But when you pray in the Spirit, your spirit is attuned and aware to the spiritual realities around you, and you will begin to intercede and pray about things that you didn't even know were going on. That prayer about that person that you've been wanting to come to Christ, when you pray for them in the Spirit, in your heavenly language, you are praying against the spiritual things and the forces that are attacking them. That's a wonderful thing that God has given us. So God, in this moment, I just pray that you will help us to be aware of the spiritual realities around us. We are living in the last days. You have told us, God, it's more important than just knowing dates and times and all and how it's all going to work. What we know is that Satan is trying everything he can in this moment, in this generation, to bring as many people to his side as possible. Because he believes that if he has enough people, he can overthrow you and he can become God. But we know that Jesus' power is greater. Be with us in this moment. Help us to understand the spiritual realities around us, to know that they are increasing, and to be people who pray and fast, who seek the Lord like we never have before. And we will watch you do wonderful and incredible things here physically and supernaturally through your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for being the victor. In your name, amen.